testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Exhort you this evening on faith. As I've been waiting before the Lord, I believe he's given us something to consider and think about and take before the Lord in prayer and intercession, because so often that is the way we grow in the Spirit, when we hear the word and we take it before God and make it a source of prayer and intercession. And I have a title this evening for our teaching, and it's simply called Faith's Ultimate Goals. Faith, Ultimate Goals. And faith has its goals. It is like firing, shooting an arrow. It has to meet its target. That in many ways is the nature of faith. And so that's why I'm calling it this evening Faith's Ultimate Goals. Now, we have this idea, don't we, that God rewards us for our faith. And part of that is true. That is true, that God does indeed reward us for our faith. But you know, it's a bigger picture than that. And I think that a lot of us missed it in the early days, because all we could see faith was meeting the goal, meeting the target, meeting my needs. And indeed, it does, but it goes much further than that. These goals are far greater. They're bigger. And we have to grow into this. It's called maturing, growing up into sonship. Because faith is bigger than this. You see, we don't earn anything through faith. And very often we have this idea that we earn things. We get rewards because I'm believing and I'm in faith. And so I'm going to earn some things. It doesn't work that way. You see, faith brings us ultimately into a right relationship with Almighty God. And when our faith is working like that, when our faith is bringing us ultimately in that right standing, that relationship with Almighty God, then all the opportunities that accompany faith simply work. In other words, our faith is being perfected. Now, we tend to forget, don't we, that faith is part of the fruit of the Spirit. That love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and so on. All of these fruits are being perfected in our life, our character, our walk, including faith. And indeed, we need faith to believe for that perfecting work. So the ultimate goal of faith is indeed that our faith is being perfected. And the ultimate goal of the perfection of our faith is to bring us into that unbroken fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we only are going to see that our faith is name it and claim it, then you are never going to really come into a relationship with God, which is what ultimately the goal is. And of course, when we first get saved, we're seeing all these promises in the Word of God, and we can't wait to confess them and make them our own and bring them before God and give a testimony and so on. And of course, that all has its place. But if that is all our faith is, you're going to be very, very disappointed. And this is why many have gone back who embraced the deeper life teaching, who walked fervently years ago. Many have gone back because they have failed to see that the deeper life faith is that unbroken fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is growing deeper with Him. And many really didn't see that. They were not expecting that. They thought, well, I'm saved, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, God loves me and I love Him. But the love was very shallow. It wasn't deep. It wasn't a love that was being tried and tested. Because that is what love has to be. It has to be tried. It has to be tested. The same as faith does, to see whether it is genuine or not. And this is always what sorts it out in the Christian walk. You see, faith is first and foremost for relationship. That is the deeper life. That is that open door. Our faith, which indeed is a gift given from God, is that ultimately it will work that deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, I would take it even a step further, that our faith is indeed helping to make the church ready for the coming of the Lord. I believe that that is what our faith is for. That is what it was given for at the beginning, so that we make ourselves ready for the coming of the Lord. That we don't give up. That we keep our eyes firmly fixed upon Him by faith. Whatever the trial, whatever the obstacle, or whatever it is. If that is not the goal of your faith, you are going to be so disappointed. And this is the problem that we have even in FGA. Why some are down, depressed, because faith isn't working as I thought it was going to work or how it should work. Faith, which is that higher knowledge and revelation and understanding, is never going to spiritually be understood unless Christ is central in the revelation that faith gives. If you only are looking to those promises, you're looking to your needs, you are going to be disappointed. And indeed many have, and maybe some even will be, sadly. Christ has to be central with our faith. He is ultimately that goal. And to achieve this, he has to allow trials. And it is our trials that is sorting it out. It is our trials that are exposing our motives. Whether we are following the Lord Jesus Christ because we love him and we know he loves us, or we are following him because we are expecting to see things happening and manifesting. In other words, I am with the deeper life because I'm expecting to see the greater works. I'm expecting to see healings. I'm expecting to see my needs met. I'm expecting my ministry to work, and so on. Now, if that is the motive, you've missed it. And you will be disappointed. And that is why some no longer walk with us. Because that was their motives, and trials expose those motives. In other words, it didn't work out as I thought. Or I wasn't expecting this trial. I didn't think that this type of trial happens with the overcomer. And yet, to achieve this goal, it has to be trials. And God permits, allows us to go through these trials. Church history is filled with the church through every generation going through its trials. That the church, its faith, may meet its ultimate goal. And the ultimate goal of it is always the Lord Jesus Christ. Our trials actually are so designed, if we stay with them and we walk through them and remain faithful until he brings us out the other side, you will always find that your trial of faith has caused you to keep your eyes firmly fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It has broadened your love for him, that you may experience more of him. If we can always keep that in our mind and thinking and heart, we will be able to endure these trials, and we will know the bigger picture in this trial. But if we're always self-motivated, inward-looking, then you're never going to understand. And if you're inward-looking in your trials, you'll make the same sin that the children of Israel did, where they griped and moaned and complained before God, never grateful, because they refused to understand what the trials were ultimately trying to bring. You see, faith must have direct contact with him and him alone. If your faith is not having direct contact with the Lord Jesus Christ 24/7, you are not going to understand the faith walk. And that is why we can get depressed. We can get fed up. We look to other things because it's not producing what I want. But you see, what God is teaching us in this whole walk is it's not my will, but thy will be done. What is ultimately working in us is that obedience. And when we come to that place of obedience, where we're not interested in anything else, then God can ultimately bless. Because that is his nature, that is his heart, that is the Father's heart. And whether he delays those blessings or not, it doesn't change, it doesn't alter anything. Because you know experientially that he loves you and you love him. See, love can do that. It is so powerful, it's so great, it's so strong. So we must see that faith must have that direct contact with him and him alone. When you embrace these promises in the Word of God and you read these promises, what it says about you or about the church or whatever it is, that promise that you are seeing is ultimately a direct contact with him and him alone. This is why the Word of God is supernatural. This is why it is revelation. This is why we're told that faith comes by hearing the Word. Because our faith, our belief in this Word, in actual fact, brings us into direct contact with the living God. That is why the Word of God is alive. It is not a dead word, a dead revelation. It is alive. That is why you cannot separate the Word of God from the Lord. When we speak about the Word, we speak about Jesus. When we speak about Jesus, we speak about the Word. They are one. They agree. That is God's heart. That is his agreement to us. That is what he's saying. And the basis of being touched by the Word of God is, as we see, that faith must have direct contact with him and him alone. And sadly, this is where a lot are still missing this. This relationship with God is the missing link. And that is why at times we don't see our prayers being answered. We don't see the promises being fulfilled always in our lives. Because faith is not having that contact with a living God. In other words, your understanding of the Word is not really living. It's not alive. And it must become alive in your life. The same as God is alive. We must experience the reality, the life of Almighty God through this Word that we hear and partake of. This is why we eat of the Word. This is why it's spiritually called the meat of the Word. Meat is to eat. It's not just to be looked at or to smell its savour or whatever it is. It's spiritual food. It's to be eaten. In other words, as I eat of this Word, I'm in direct contact with the Almighty God. That is what this is about. You see, he's teaching us that we walk by faith and not just blessings or emotions. And that still is the big issue, the problem. I want to feel this faith. I want faith to make me feel happy. I want to feel good. Well, we all do. Who doesn't? But if that is what you are viewing the Word of God, you're viewing faith as, you're going to be terribly disappointed, because God isn't going to minister to those lusts, those emotions, those highs, those wants. So often they're lusts in us. We lust after things that we cannot have, and we become disappointed. No, faith first and foremost is for relationship with Almighty God. You see, faith at the beginning was very central, wasn't it? It was very much around ourselves, our wants, our needs. My faith is believing for this. My faith is claiming that, and so on. And we have failed miserably to see the ultimate goal of what faith is really all about. Christ is absolutely central to faith. You leave him out of the equation and you'll be very, very disappointed. And that is why, if self isn't dealt with, we become petulant, moody, depressed, up and down, and so on, which sadly the house of God has been filled with so many like that. They're up and down all the time. They have to be cheered up. They have to have a good faith message to then worship and praise the Lord. Otherwise they're down in a couple of days. And all it's becoming is just a spiritual form of drug taking. And sadly that's gone on. And that is why God deals with the self-life. And it's called the cross that you and I take up daily and follow the Lord. It is for that very purpose, to bring you to the end of those things that we still lust for, that we still want, to feed the flesh, the emotions, and so on. You see, faith, by its very nature, has got to be tried and tested. If you are really speaking of a biblical, sound faith, then by its very nature, it's got to be tried and tested to be genuine, to cause it to fall at 18 inches from the head to the heart. Otherwise, it's just simply emotions. But when the faith, our faith, is tested to the ultimate, it always brings us into direct line and contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. Your trials have brought you in to fellowship, contact with the Lord, far more than just your faith or your confession or your belief in the promises of God. And they have their place, don't get me wrong. But it isn't enough. It is the trials of our faith, it's the testings that ultimately work that deep love. That love that where we know nothing separates us from the love of God. And it takes time to experience that. It's not something you achieve just overnight. We know that. We're learning that. Because that is the anchoring. You see, faith will endure to the end. Faith will stay with it. doesn't give up. And so often we know that it looks so hopeless, so negative. You know, we have learned over the years, and probably still learning, that none of this makes any sense. None of it makes sense. When God is on the scene, when God is doing things, it never, ever makes any sense. And yet we are still trying to understand, we're trying to control it in our minds and in our intellects. We might as just well say, I don't understand. I don't really want to know. I don't want to try and work it out. But I know God knows. He has a higher plan. He knows what he's doing. And I'd simply trust him. You know, that would help us tremendously if we can approach our walk, our situations, our circumstances like that. It will stop a lot of heartache. It will stop a lot of searching, trying. A lot of labour, a lot of wasted time. If we just have that simple childlike faith. I don't understand, but my Heavenly Father does. And in time, you will spiritually understand it. Because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're far, far higher. They're so, so different than how we think. So faith by its very nature has got to be tried and tested. Yet we're still not quite sure, are we, of the character of God? I'm still not quite sure whether he's actually faithful. He's trustworthy. We don't say that in so many words, but our actions say it. Let's think about our last trial or trials. Let's go back over the last, say, 3 months, 4 months. Where were you in that trial? Were you persuaded, influenced, that your Heavenly Father is trustworthy, he is faithful, he will not deny, I can completely and utterly trust him, or did we find ourselves running to the arm of the flesh? It gives itself away. When we run to the arm of the flesh, I am still not fully persuaded of my Heavenly Father's faithfulness. That's what we're actually doing. That's what we're saying. And that hurts God. That grieves him. And so he's going to permit these trials in order that we are fully persuaded, that we don't doubt anymore the character and faithfulness of our Heavenly Father. Because that's ultimately what he's working with the church. That's part of the bride making herself ready. Making herself ready is that she's trusting in his faithfulness, his character, his love, his unchangeableness. He is utterly, completely reliable. That is what he's doing. You see, the trials of faith isn't always everyday life. We live each day in a fallen world. And we see sin around us all the time, sadly. But that isn't necessarily the trial of my faith. When I get up in the morning and walk with the Lord, this day isn't a trial of my faith. And sometimes we tend to use these things. Oh, well, I've got to meet this day. Here's the trial of my faith. That isn't the trial of your faith. That's just life, everyday things. That's what's around us. But he is going to take us through deep trials at times, because he's trying to show us that he is faithful, that he doesn't forsake us, that he will bring us through. That is a lot of what the trial is about. Trials are ultimately in the Father's heart to get you and I to believe and trust him totally by faith. That was what your last trial was about. To get you to trust him totally by faith. That is the nature of them. And if we in denial on this, or we don't want to hear with regard to this, we're going to find that it's going to keep coming up and up and up and up again until God finally gets our attention. Do you know what is one of the greatest and highest confessions of faith in the Word of God? Have you any idea what it is? Well, you know it well, because this is the ultimate of confession of faith. Job 13 and verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What a confession of faith. It's the highest. You can't go any higher than that. You see, the perfection of our faith is that God is turning it into reality. And that is what sorts out the men from the boys. We hear it like we're hearing a message tonight. But the facts are that the perfecting of our faith is where God is turning it into reality. And we all have a little part within us. Well, I hope God doesn't test me or try me in this. Wow, you know, this message tonight. But I'm sure he won't. Well, I'm sure he will. You see, he's going to turn every jot and tittle of the Word of God into reality in your life and my life. Because it must be made real in our lives. Otherwise, it's simply a mirage. It's just religious. It's just emotions, which is what a lot of religion is. But God isn't like that. He is making faith, the perfecting of faith, is he's making it a reality in your life and my life. And whatever your situation, whatever your testings, whatever your trials, whatever you're waiting for on the Lord, he will make it reality. But the goal of that reality is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because when you embrace him, you embrace your needs. What you're believing for. What you're confessing for. Hoping for. When you see him and you embrace him, then all those promises are in him. You can't separate Jesus from the promises, which we have done. That is why we say everything in and through the mighty name of Jesus. Why do we use the name of Jesus? Simply because of this, because he is attached to it. He is part of it. He's one with it. That's why we use his name. You know, as an old saint said this, God brings us into certain trials or circumstances to educate our faith. I'll give that again. God brings us into certain trials or circumstances to educate our faith. Our faith still needs educating, teaching. And that's why we're having such a teaching like this tonight. Because if we're simply going to see faith as just rewards, meeting all my needs, my wants and everything, you're going to be greatly disappointed. And you know it in your own life, how much of it has not worked. And yet we find ourselves still ploughing on, going on, God will be faithful, he will answer and everything. He won't. He won't. You can confess till the cows come home. But the moment you start to bring Jesus Christ central to your faith, your relationship with him, then that completely changes everything. Faith starts then to become alive. It starts to become a reality. It becomes real. Because as I said at the beginning of this teaching, faith is a greater revelation, a greater knowledge, a greater understanding. That's why the world doesn't have it. But you do, I do. We're above all of this. This is why we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're always above these things. We are above the way of the world, how it thinks, how it acts, how it believes. We're above it, and we shouldn't be influenced by it. And yet we still at times find ourselves getting very drawn into the world in its ways and so forth. And when we start to do that, then we find that our faith begins to waver. And when our faith is wavering, our confession starts to waver. We start to talk and think like the world and how it acts. We're above it. We have lost sight of Jesus. When Jesus is central to your faith, he is your confession. He is your belief. He is. It's in weakness we're made strong. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I believe tonight because Christ lives in my life. That is what our confession should be. It's not anything to do with my efforts, my achievements, how much I study in the Word of God, or how much I pray, or whatever it is. I am what I am because of the life of Almighty God that lives in me. We still need to experience this, brothers and sisters. It's still too much of ourself, my effort, my achievements. We are what we are by the grace and mercy of God. And if my prayers have been answered today, it was because of the grace and mercy of God. It's because Christ was center at that point. He is the answer. I chose to simply believe. And that's all it is. That's all God has ever asked of us, is to simply choose to believe. And the precious Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, will do that work. And if it's still in the head, he'll have a way of dropping it, that 18 inches, to the heart. Don't ask me how he does it. He does it. Because he's a miraculous working God. But we have got to settle this one, brothers and sisters, as I finish now. That faith is not centered around me. It's bigger than that. It's as I believe, as I confess, and as I see these promises or the needs that are in my life, the ultimate is Christ in me. That is the goal of my faith, that I may know him. That's what the Apostle Paul said. That was the goal of the Apostle Paul, that I may know Christ crucified, risen. Nothing else matters. Why doesn't it matter? Because that is the goal of faith. And everything else, what you need, your needs for your, in this life, they'll all be met. All that matters is that my faith, the goal of my faith, is Jesus Christ and him alone. And all the rest will follow. That is faith's ultimate goal, I believe. Praise God. Father, again, you're reminding us of our goal in our life. That race that we're in, to finish the line, to get that reward, is Jesus. Father, forgive us that we leave you out of the equation. We lose sight of you so easily. And we know when we do that, because our mind and attitudes change, our confession changes, our moods change. It's not rocket science to see what happens. Lord, help us in these areas, we ask. Help us, Father, to see that in our trials, you're removing whatever hindrances that there be there, so that we can experience more and more of you. Father, forgive us that we can still be so easily distracted, so easily taking our eyes away from you and looking to other things. Help us, Father. Help us to understand this faith walk, its ultimate goal, as you're perfecting our faith. Because our faith is first and foremost that relationship with you, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to achieve all of this, this is why you allow us to go through these trials, simply because of that. Our last trial that we went through was for that very purpose, to have a stronger, greater relationship with you. Because we're learning, Lord, that faith must have that direct contact with you and you alone. As it will never work. Help us, Lord, to see that our walk of faith is not just blessings based on emotions or feelings. It's far greater than that, Father. Lord, we know that our faith is to be tried and tested. We know that we must go through much trial and tribulation in which to make it into the kingdom of God. But we also know, Lord, that you will only allow us to go through those trials where you see that it will perfect us in your image. And you will not allow Satan and the powers of darkness to overwhelm us, to overtake us, or destroy us. You only give him a certain amount of access. And Lord, we know that in our lives. We have seen it many, many times. And we praise and we thank you, Lord, for that. But Lord, forgive us that we still are not sure about you. We're not still sure about your character, your faithfulness, whether you're really trustworthy. Oh, Father, help us, Lord. Have mercy on us, Father. Forgive us that we can still harbour these things deep in our hearts. Father, we thank you for our fellowship this evening. Thank you for bringing us together online. We are truly grateful for this. We thank you for the encouragement in your word. Father, you love us so much that you don't give up on us. We may have heard this teaching over 100 times in many ways, and yet we find it still fresh manna. It's still more to learn. And Father, we thank you for this. Lord, I pray that you will help my brothers and sisters. Father, may they experience that hope that is set before them. Father, may they take their eyes away from self, from circumstances, and that their eyes will fully be looking to Jesus, the fullness of God in their life, drawing strength from the inner man. It's not about us, it is about you. And may our life and our consecration glorify you. May our lives lift you up, Father, in every situation, that Jesus may be seen. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve, and always keep us, Father. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.
Up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, he is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Oh, nor the moon by side of